8th Street. This is BillPod.com. The Week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from the Lower Haight, San Francisco, California. Happy New Year. Today is Thursday, the 4th of January, 2018. Also, happy Bedova. On this date in 1878, Ottoman Sophia falls to the Russians during the Russo-Turkish War. 1903, an elephant named Topsy is electrocuted, poisoned, and strangled in Coney Island, New York. 1948, Burma gains independence from the United Kingdom, becoming the Union of Burma. 1958, Sputnik 1 falls back to Earth. 1960, French writer Albert Camus dies in a car accident in northern France. 1974, U.S. President Richard Nixon refuses to hand over documents to the Watergate investigation. 2004, Misha Saakashvili is elected president of Georgia after the November 2003 Rose Revolution. Birthdays are English mathematician and physicist Isaac Newton in 1643, French inventor of Braille, Louis Braille, in 1809, and American ornithologist James Bond in 1900. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to tepealpod.com or send us an email at tepealpod@gmail.com. Georgian security forces began an operation in the Pankisi Gorge in Tbilisi at 4 a.m. on the 26th, involving several dozen officers of the State Security Service. They arrested five Georgian citizens suspected of assisting Ahmed Chatayev and his associates that were killed or arrested during the November Isani special operation. One of the suspects, 18-year-old Timirlan Machalakishvili, was shot in the head while attempting to set off a hand grenade and is currently hospitalized. The investigation is continuing to search for others possibly associated with the group. Four of the people detained during the operation have been sent to pretrial custody by the Tbilisi State Court. They've been charged with helping members of a terrorist organization with obtaining housing and providing services, food, and household items. The court cited high risk of committing a new crime, obstructing the evidence collection process and hiding detainees in their decision. The fifth suspect, who was shot, has not yet been charged. The court also noted that the November suspect carried out a terrorist act during the November operation by setting off hand grenades and opening intensive fire against the security officers. Pankisi Council of Elders released a statement expressing concern over the events and calling for an objective investigation. The family of the man shot by the SSS claims that he was sleeping when he was shot and not detonating a hand grenade, as the security forces reported. Several hundred residents of the Pankisi Gorge also protested in Duisi after this week's arrest. Earlier this week, members of the council met with the governor of Kakheti, Irakli Kadagashvili, and deputy head of the state security service, Yosef Gogashvili, who shared some statements this week repeating their earlier concerns and adding that they hoped the investigation would be timely. State security service also announced that the suspect detained during the November operation, formerly referred to by the initials SD, is a 23-year-old Chechen named Shoaib Borizev. They did not explain why the initials used the letter D instead of B. The two killed during the same operation were identified as Ibrahim Adashev and Aslambek Soltakhmadov. Adashev had visited Georgia between 2010 and 2012 using fake passports. Recordings from Chatayev's computer and other electronic devices apparently show that the group had planned to attack diplomatic missions in Turkey and Georgia. In related news, Turkish authorities detained Gocha, a.k.a. Ali Saginadze, a Georgian citizen, last week in Trabzon. Saginadze was arrested after information about him was found by Georgian security forces on Ahmed Chatayev's cell phone after his death in the November Isani special operation. The Turkish authorities also seized ISIS-related materials from Saginadze. On the 25th, Misha announced via Facebook that the Ukrainian authorities were preparing to extradite him to Georgia. However, the Ukrainian Foreign Ministry says that it is not discussing extradition with the Georgians. Georgia skipped last week's UN General Assembly vote condemning the U.S.'s embassy's move to Jerusalem. Georgia has historically supported Palestine, recognizing its statehood in 1992 and voting in favor of non-member observer status in the UN in 2012. However, U.S. threats and the close relationship between the U.S. and Georgia may have impacted the decision not to attend the vote. The European Commission has released its first report on the fulfillment of visa liberalization requirements by Georgia. They found that overall Georgia has done its part, But there is room for improvement. The commission is concerned by ongoing asylum applications from Georgians to Europe for reasons of national security, by Georgia's involvement in organized crime in Europe, and by Georgia's role as a trafficking transit country, especially for drugs. The commission asked Georgia to continue to educate people on the rules of the visa-free program, to operationalize the Europol cooperation agreement, to complete reforms on intelligence-led policing, to create a unified crime analysis system, to strengthen cross-border law enforcement and judicial cooperation, to increase enforcement of money laundering regulations, and to amend the anti-discrimination law. The European Union offered Georgia 140 million lari in aid to support reforms in trade and business development, vocational education and employment, agriculture, and integration of internally displaced people. If the EU finds progress in these areas insufficient, they can withhold funds until progress is made. Armenian President Serge Sarkisian visited Tbilisi this week, where he met with President Mark Velashvili, Prime Minister Georgi Kvitikashvili, Parliamentary Chairman Irakli Kobakhidze, and Patriarch Ilia II. He also visited an Armenian community center and an Armenian church. Georgia and Azerbaijan celebrated 25 years of diplomatic relations with a concert of the Ganja State Philharmonic Orchestra at the Shota Rustaveli State Theater. Minister of Foreign Affairs Mikhail Janalidze and Azerbaijani Ambassador Dursun Hasanov spoke at the event. Queen Elizabeth II sent a letter to Patriarch Ilia II congratulating him on the 40th anniversary of his election. The Georgian Fair Business Practices Sanctions Act of 2017, introduced to the U.S. House of Representatives by Representative Steve Russell, is rumored to be a reaction to the Philip Morris and Geo American Alloys cases, where likely instances of corruption in the judiciary negatively impacted American corporations. Poor giant American tobacco companies. I heard this was done by rich Shevardnadze goon Vanoch Kartashvili, who paid off the judges and is now in favor with the authorities. President Georgi Mark Velashvili and Prime Minister Georgi Kvitikashvili both made New Year's addresses on the 1st at the National Youth Palace in Tbilisi, the site where the Georgian National Council declared independence on May 26, 2018. Both noted the centennial and noted the importance of reintegration of Abkhazia and South Ossetia into Georgia. On New Year's Eve, Mark Velashvili visited Kur Valeti, a village on the South Ossetian border, and met with local residents, emphasizing the importance of reunification and his hopes for the new year. Parliament confirmed Prime Minister Kvitikashvili's new cabinet with a confidence vote at 2 a.m. on the 22nd, with 103 in favor and 17 against, after about 8 hours of debate. Members of the opposition said the new government was not oriented to people's problems and incompetent. Kvitikashvili presented the new government's priorities to Parliament on the 20th. He spoke about reforms based predominantly in four areas: education, infrastructure, economy, and governance. He discussed an idea for business houses similar to the public service halls, where private business owners could access a range of government services in one place. In addition, he spoke about continuing to delegate powers from the central government to local governments, a soon-to-be-announced bold reintegration package regarding the occupied territories, defense reforms, including a pending military reserves program, transit development, and the new EU integration roadmap. He also met with a number of different parliamentary factions in the lead-up to the confidence vote on the 22nd. The new military reserves program will have two components: an active reserve made up of former soldiers and a mobilization component that will allow for broader participation. The Ministry of Defense will have an electronic database to categorize people so that every citizen that can potentially be ready for mobilization is ready. Parliamentary opposition took advantage of the question and answer time after Kvitikashvili spoke, criticizing him on a number of different points, including the economy, poverty, currency depreciation, corruption, crime rates, the abduction of Afghan Mukhtarli, the 2012 release of Ahmed Chatayev, and increasingly friendly relations with Russia. Foreign Minister Janalidze discussed Georgia's foreign policy priorities regarding EU integration at Parliament last week. The priorities are full and effective implementation of the Association Agreement and Free Trade Agreement, analysis of whether Georgian legislation is EU compliant, institutional and legal integration in areas not covered by the Association of Free Trade Agreements, and implementation of the EU's 20 deliverables for 2020. Also on the 22nd, Parliament passed new and controversial amendments to the public broadcasting law in the third and final reading. President Margvelashvili has met with both supporters of the bill from the Georgian public broadcaster and opponents from private broadcasters, and it's currently unclear if he'll sign it into law or not. Two more Otsneva factions have officially formed after reports that they might earlier this month. 11 MPs created the Otsneva for Strong Economy faction, and seven formed the Otsneva for Strong Georgia faction. Media reports say that the new factions are the result of internal disagreements and a recent conflict between Kvitikashvili and singer Gyurgi Gachachiladze. This brings the total number of Otsneva factions to 8. Government has released its Rural Development Action Plan for 2018 to 2020. It has a budget of over 1.7 billion lari, hopes to promote rural development through the growth and diversification of local economies, improvement of public services, increased employment, and sustainable use of natural resources. President Margvelashvili has pardoned 187 prisoners. 123 will leave prison as a result, while the remaining 64 will have their sentences reduced. The decisions were made by the President's Pardoning Commission, a group of 10 public and civil society figures that discussed the cases before sending them to Margvelashvili for approval. Poet Zviad Ratiani has accused the police of abuse while detaining him in Tbilisi on the 24th. He claims that several plainclothes police officers came up to him at an ATM, mocked his outfit, beat him, and then held him overnight at the Dihomi police station. He visited a doctor upon his release, who apparently confirmed the existence of recent injuries and bruises. The Ministry of Internal Affairs has begun an investigation and suspended one officer. Deputy Interior Minister Natia Mezrishvili says that Ratiani was drunk and resisted arrest, and that the police have video evidence to prove it. Interior Minister Gyurgi Gachadi also commented on the case, saying that Ratiani purported drunkenness was not an acceptable reason for police to physically abuse him. A number of poets have condemned the violence. There was a fire on the top floor of Tbilisi's Rooms Hotel around midnight on the 25th. There were no injuries, minimal damage, and the blaze was quickly contained. The cause of the fire has not yet been determined. The German Man Truck and Bus AG company gave Tbilisi a bus for Christmas, one of the blue, more environmentally friendly ones that have been added to the Tbilisi transit system since October 2016. Mayor Kachi Kaladze rode it around on New Year's Day, said that all of Tbilisi's yellow buses will be replaced with new ones during his four-year term. Also, Tbilisi City Hall hired a bunch of Santas to ride around in every district of Tbilisi, hand out candy in the days before New Year's, in the interest of holiday cheer. Russian Deputy Foreign Minister Grigory Karasin said in an interview last week that Russia is carefully observing the process of Georgia's militarization by Western nations and is adjusting the security assistance to Abkhazia and South Ossetia accordingly. He added that Russia is not afraid of Georgia, but that Western nations should remember what Georgia's militarization once brought about. This comes after the recent approval of Javelin missile sales to Georgia by the United States Congress, and the recent arrival of equipment for the installation of French air defense systems. Separate interview this week, Karasin noted that Georgia is hoping to intensify practical, a.k.a. economic cooperation with Georgia in 2018. Russia has appointed Igor Koshin, former governor of Nenets Autonomous Okrug, as Deputy Minister of the North Caucasus, with an additional focus on South Ossetia and Abkhazian affairs. On the 22nd, a man attempted suicide at the Gori municipal offices as he protested a ministry decision to deny him public housing. Vitali Gamkhuashvili cut himself after the denial. He's not an IDP, but his wife and family are IDPs from Abkhazia. He hoped to get IDP housing. Deputy Minister of Refugees Grigol Gyurgadze said that they were denied because Gamkhuashvili and his family live in his ancestral home and thus are not eligible for public housing. Family said that their housing situation is very bad and the roof leaks. house is near collapse, causing health problems for the family. Other IDPs have joined the family in protesting the housing policy. Ministry has said that they will meet with them individually to review cases. Office of the Minister of Reconciliation and Civil Equality announced that approximately 12,000 people living near the Russian occupation line will receive a 200 lari winter heating allowance. Ministry of Internally Displaced Persons from the Occupied Territories Accommodation Refugees announced that 445 displaced families from Abkhazia and South Ossetia will be receiving new apartments in central Gori. Abkhazian President Raul Khajimba spoke at the Abkhazian Parliament this week, saying that he hoped to make changes to the constitution in 2018 that would allow the president to call for early elections, dissolve parliament in some circumstances, and approve the new prime minister. A Georgian citizen, Georgi Lukava, was released from prison in Abkhazia and handed off to Georgian authorities at the Inguri border crossing on the 25th after serving nearly 7 years of a 20-year sentence. He was detained in the Gali region of Abkhazia in 2011 and charged with being a fighter and a terrorist. Another Georgian, Manuchar Chushbaya, also released from jail after being detained for illegal border crossing in September and sentenced to 4 months in prison. 64-year-old Georgian citizen Zurab Zhrenti was detained earlier this week and then released 2 days later by South Ossetian authorities for illegally crossing the border. Border crossing arrestees are usually released after paying a fine. South Ossetian authorities also closed all border crossings with Georgia, South Ossetia over the New Year's holidays for the 31st of December through the 2nd of January in order to ensure security during the celebrations. South Ossetian President Anatoly Bibilov visited Russia last week and met with a number of Russian officials, including Prosecutor General Yuri Chaika. Russia is giving South Ossetia two medical rescue helicopters so that instead of having to send people in urgent need of medical care to Georgia, as is currently done, they can be sent to North Ossetia. Russia will also be helping local trains maintain and use the helicopters. The Georgia National Energy and Water Supply Regulatory Commission has raised the price of electricity for customers in Tbilisi, Telasi, and the region's Energy Pro Georgia. For both companies, the rate has gone up by a bit more than one tetri. The new prices will go into effect on the 1st of January and be effective through December 2020. Bloomberg reports that Bidzina Ivanishvili's wealth increased by $350 million in 2017 to $5.8 billion. He is 312th out of 500 on their annual billionaires index. American Chamber of Commerce in Georgia, AmCham, reviewed issues related to land title and foreign investment in Georgia. A moratorium on purchases of farmland by foreigners was imposed in July 2017, and then the Constitution was amended in September, restricting ownership of farmland to Georgians. This enables the government to constitutionally confiscate any land owned by non-Georgian people or companies, though they have not done so yet and say they will not. As a result, foreign direct investment in agribusiness in 2017 was about $10 million, which is not nearly enough money to make Georgia's farm globally competitive. AmCham hopes that undefined exceptions to the constitutional amendment will be made clear in 2018. Construction officially began on the Anaklia deep sea port on the 24th. An event marking the start featured representatives from the Anaklia Development Consortium and the Georgian government, including Prime Minister Kvitikashvili. Chinese equipment manufacturing company ZPMC has partnered with the Anaklia Development Consortium in the Anaklia deep sea port and has invested $50 million and will encourage other Chinese financial investments in the project. ZPMC will also provide large-scale container machinery and a bulk cargo handling machine to the port, which is scheduled to begin the first phase of operations in 2020. Georgia's exported almost 30 tons of mandarins this year, mainly to Russia, Ukraine, and Armenia. Most Georgian mandarins are grown in Ajada. The Ajaran government has also announced subsidies for companies that buy and process low-quality fruits. Not sure why they're helping out the low-quality fruit producers, but, you know, I'm sure there's logic there. British car manufacturer Bentley has opened its first showroom in Tbilisi on Agmashenabeli, formerly Plekhanovi, where they will sell cars and car accessories and provide after-sales services. They partnered with Georgian business conglomerate Omega Group to open the store. A Magrelian keyboard app has been made by SwiftKey Keyboard and is available in the Google Play Store, presumably for Android phones. Meme this week is behind-the-scenes video of dancers from the State Ballet of Georgia preparing for a photo project. Civil.ge wrote about reactions to the December 1st killings of two teenage boys at a school in Tbilisi. The deaths of the two 16-year-olds after a fight has prompted a fair amount of soul-searching and contemplation of Georgia's societal woes. Many blamed the education system, which was the subject of recent reports by the Public Defender's Office, what they called systemically abusive, while others have claimed that Georgian society overall is violent, noting violence in the media, government, and families. Another issue brought to the fore by the murders was general distrust in state institutions. None of the 15 people present at the time of the stabbing spoke to the police independently, and very few people have chosen to cooperate with the investigation. Brookings published an article by Michael O'Hanlon arguing that in order to reduce the risk of war between the U.S. and Russia, NATO expansion should be ended. He worries that the Baltic states' inclusion in NATO already puts the U.S. at risk for war. Allowing Georgia and Ukraine to enter would increase that. He also notes that Georgia and Ukraine are rather far from the North Atlantic and that their inclusion would further emphasize how little NATO has to do with Atlantic security, how much it is an anti-Russian organization. His solutions to the problems are vague, saying that a new security framework should be created in which the issue of Crimea could be put aside. Non-NATO countries could continue to partake in military exercises with NATO, and that Putin would have to agree to these things. This exact same article with the exact same points comes out periodically and has for years. Raisa Lipartelliani, the vice president of the Georgian Trade Unions Confederation, wrote about the flaws of the Georgian labor policy and their effect on workers from the 2016 dismantling of the labor code to the present. The new labor inspector is toothless and voluntary for employers. The Ministry of Internal Affairs records of workplace injuries and deaths are incomplete. The current labor code mostly focuses on the rights of employers, and Lipartelliani claims that it is not in line with International Labor Association or European standards. Chaikhana posted a short story by Elena Mikheberidze, Bags and Borders. It interviews people from Abkhazia and South Ossetia and chronicles what they brought with them as they crossed borders, where even the birds are checked by cameras. The deed to a dacha, many slippers, a bicycle, kilos of frozen meat and garlic, and white pebbles from the beaches of Abkhazia. OC Media published a piece about a woman's bride napping in Batumi in 2008. The author writes that she went through two wars in August 2008, one national and the other personal, tells the story of her bride napping by an ex-boyfriend, her attempt to escape, and the confusion she felt during and after the event. She specifically notes a dearth of education on human rights and gender issues in Georgian schools and believes that more education in these areas would allow women to stand up to behavior like this and families and societies to support them. All this stuff to read will be posted on the forum. This week's dive bar number is 5, the number of U.S. military Humvees or high-mobility multipurpose wheeled vehicles seized by the Russians in August 2008. On the 5th of January, Yakov Shonsky and Tango Academy will host an Argentine Tango Milonga at 1904 in Tbilisi at 8 p.m. On the 6th, the Open Air Museum of Ethnography will have a Christmas party from 1 to 3 p.m. The event will feature traditional Georgian Santa Toblis Babu, who of course wears black, characters from Georgian mythology and fairy tales, acrobats on stilts, traditional Georgian games, music and dancing, theatrical performances, and other activities. On the 6th at 6 p.m., Gallery Fotografia in Tbilisi is hosting Marcus Schultz, a photographer and lecturer at the Cologne Pop Art Academy, for an open discussion on the future of photography. Tbilisi's Hello Joe has Georgian post-punk band Tserili, or The Letter, at 9 p.m. on the 6th. Also on the 6th at 10 p.m., DiveX Fabrica in Tbilisi will have a pre-clubbish hip-hop evening conducted by Lasha Babuadze. On the evening of the 6th and 7th, Nino Katamadze and Insight, Kachberi Kachmus, and the quartet of the Shota Rustaveli Theater and Film Georgian State University will perform in Gudauri on the square next to the central gondola lift. On the 10th at 7:30 p.m., Begmont Books in Tbilisi will host their monthly international book swap. On the 11th, the British Georgian Society is hosting a goodbye party for Kahi Kenkadze, Minister Extraordinary and Plenipotentiary of the Georgian Embassy, entitled Tamada at Tamada. The event will be a supra at the Tamada Institute in London. RSVP by the 9th at info@BritishGeorgianSociety.com to attend. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is @TXTBUK. Our email is tapilpod@gmail.com, or post the form on our website, www.tapilpod.com. And we will finish with 1987, Guns N' Roses, Sweet Child of Mine.
Where do we go?